Hello, everyone. I am calling the meeting to order at 6:20 p.m. Welcome to the UMCS board meeting. All right. Greg, can you call attendance, please?
Sure. Christina, are you here?
I am.
And Davis?
I am here.
This is Greg. I'm here. Jan? Looks like Jan is absent. Kara?
Present.
Maru? Looks like Maru is absent. And Sarah?
Present.
Awesome. So we have, and Ms. Krishna is here in person. So we have a couple of us in person and some of us remote. And so we have four of us who will count for quorum tonight. So we are good on quorum.
Got it.
That's it. You're good.
Okay. Do we have a need to reorder any of the items on the agenda today? Does not look like it. All right. Then we will go to board and community appreciations. Does anyone have any appreciations that they would like to share today?
I would like to appreciate Sehi, who is our a member of our legal counsel team, who did just a ton of work supporting the admin and ops team to get everything in order for what the county needed for the enrollment-related material revision. It's just a ton of work, and she was awesome and very responsive. So thank you to Sehi.
I'd like to appreciate Sita and Miss Jess for the amazing job they did with the kindness challenge. Both of my kids came home talking about it, and the activities after school seemed well attended and enjoyed. Thank you guys.
I'll second that. Like, huge appreciation to Miss Jess for putting together that whole week and collaborating so with our awesome FAC. I also want to appreciate Mr. Bissonnette, who just steps up and subs in any and all classes, any and every day, and always does an amazing job supporting kids and teachers in times of outage. And despite the impact that I know that has on the other work that he has on his plate, so he's an amethyst again right now, which is exciting.
I would just like to give an appreciation to the ops team for handling the COVID testing protocols on campus, especially during January and February, and pivoting to all the different types of tests as we awaited that. I thought they handled that really well and with lots of grace. And I know that it was a great comfort to a lot of families to have that running so smoothly on campus. So thank you to all of the team there. Thanks.
I also want to appreciate all the teachers just for all the work they're doing to prepare for the conferences that are coming up. I know it's a huge amount of work to get ready for those, and they just I as a parent, I find them so valuable. So I'm excited about conferences, and thank you, teachers, for that. I also have to thank Sita and appreciate Sita for she's been my like main collaborator around move-a-thon stuff and helping and going on in and to the world of middle schoolers with me, and it's been great fun. And so just thank you, Sita, for kind of being my accountability buddy on that stuff too.
Same accountability buddy.
Any other appreciations? If not, do any of the board members have any comments on items not on tonight's agenda? Anyone? If not, do any community members have any presentations from the floor? Would anyone like to speak on items that are not on tonight's agenda? Does not seem like it. And with that, I will hand it over to Krishna for the head of school report.
Awesome. Let me cue it up. We got bored with our template. So in big news, we have a new template for our report. 4 years later. Welcome. It's February already. It's definitely still feeling like January around here, but I'm excited to see that it's almost March. And so maybe by March, it will not be January anymore. A few upcoming events. We always have our COVID testing. And yes, thank you to our ops team for making that run seamlessly and beautifully every week. A reminder to everybody that all week next week is minimum days with the 12:30 dismissal due for parent teacher conferences. So please look for those signups from your teachers and reach out to them if you haven't seen them or you can't find them so that you can make sure you have an appointment to check in with your teacher team about your students' progress since the last conferences. Also, we are fast approaching spring break, which actually starts on Friday, April 1st. April 1st is in lieu of Cesar Chavez Day, and then we get the whole following first week of April off where there'll be no school. Couple of short instructional updates. I know we'll get more in our academic oversight section, but teachers have been working really hard prepping for conferences and progress reporting. So we put a lot of time into that in our PD last Friday, and also we've devoted some Wednesday time to allow teachers to take the time and care that it is needed to do a good job on progress reporting. NWEA testing wrapped up. And we have, we'll learn more about some of that data, but have had a really brief chance to look at it internally. It's quite new, so while we'll share it tonight, it's only a day or two. We're only a day or two ahead of everybody else in seeing it. So we've already scheduled some time with our partners at Public Montessori in Action to look through that data, look at trends, and think about next steps, and also talk about how to resource that data with teachers in the coaching meetings and in other way in our professional development. We're also doing some kind of late in the year PD decision making, and so we're in conversation with NCMPS on having a 6 90-minute sessions of professional development for our teacher teams around integrated and designated ELD support in classrooms. They have a really great offering through NCMPS, but it was they're all on Eastern time, so we couldn't sign folks up, and we reached out and they've agreed to come and do some specialty trainings just for us. So we're excited about that. We'll have confirmed dates starting in March. We've been trying to be better about giving you guys some glimpses into classrooms with all this time away from availability for families to come on site. We are trying to prioritize remembering to take pictures for you and share them. And it's usually just me and Daniel, so we often forget, but Daniel got some nice pictures for folks to share of what's going on in classrooms. Since you guys don't always get to be in there. This is California Poppy. Juniper. Leopard Lily. Tidy Tips. And that's it for today. But we'll try to keep remembering to take those so you can see them. We didn't get any primary ones in this one, but I think we've shared quite a few of those in the past. And as you guys know, it's enrollment season. We actually closed our first round applications, which is the applications for the lottery. The lottery occurs March something, 7th or
I think
14th 10. Or 10th.
I'll look it up right now.
We'll look it
Keep
up.
Going.
But we the first round applications are closed. We have 353 applications across the school, which is a really great
March 10th.
It's March 10th. Great. It's a really good number of applications, much better than what we had last year and much more in line with pre-COVID application numbers. We have a lot of kindergarten applications for not as many spots as we would like to be able to offer, but so that's the most competitive grade level at this point. There's also a lot of TK applications, which is really exciting with that expansion of TK. Those are the main grades that we do the majority of our enrollment, so that's always the spot where we're looking for the most applications. So even when we have more applications than we have spots, so we 100% encourage people to keep applying and sharing our information, because we do roll through our waitlist. Lots of people make other decisions, and even if you didn't make that first round application, we want to encourage folks to put in a application so that you can be on the waiting list. So we're excited about that and looking forward to holding that lottery and welcoming our new families soon. Couple of staffing, no like major staffing updates this week, but wanted to just make mention that we're in the midst of doing our yearly staff check-in. So staff check-ins are one-on-one meetings with me. I'm meeting with 100% of staff, where it's an opportunity for staff to share what's been going well, what's been hard. I explicitly ask people about their intentions to return for next year and about their professional goals, so that we can be aligning our budget planning to the things that are important to staff. I will hopefully, I'm almost done. There's a handful of people that haven't signed up for a meeting that I'm about to assign meetings to, but we're mostly done with staff check-ins, and we're actively in hiring season for next year. We have actually a couple of interviews scheduled already with trained Montessori teachers starting next week, and quite a few applications for across all of our positions, which is really exciting. So looking forward to that, and we'll share more as we have more info. But feeling positive in what is likely going to be a tough year in all educational contexts for retention of staff. This has been a challenge, I think, for schools nationally. But I'm feeling excited about our applications and about the check-ins I've been having with our current staff. Any questions?
I have a question.
Sure.
Can you share how like, for example, like lead teachers are involved in the hiring of new lead teachers, if at all?
Yeah, we try to have teachers from the level. So if I'm hiring for a lower elementary teacher, we'll have one or more of our lower elementary teachers on the interview panel and the hiring committee. And so like if we have three qualified candidates we're interviewing, we have the same panel for all candidates, we ask the same questions, and the whole panel comes to the decision about who to make the offers to. And so if additionally, like if it's it, in some cases we would also include, like if we know that we need a lead teacher in a specific class, we'll include a different lead teacher at the same level and the support teacher from the class that will be remaining there, who will need to partner with the person. So we also try to prioritize and having somebody on the panel who would then be the person working with whoever we're hiring. That doesn't always work out, but it's something we shoot for. And when we know, we always do that also.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Krishna? All right. If not, we will. Krishna, do you want to do the supplement to the LCAP?
Sure. Or maybe I'm. Let me see if I have it open.
I can share real quick.
Do you have it open? Yeah, sure. I didn't. I forgot to open that. Or like I have it somewhere in a
here it comes
pile of other tabs.
How exciting! It's linked on the agenda.
Yeah, so just a little framing. We have a supplemental annual update here to our LCAP. This is a new thing connected to, there were a lot of changes in the LCAP process over the pandemic year, like last year, and some additional funding. And this is a secondary piece to like report on the ways that we've been allocating a lot of those additional funds. Anything else to add on that, Greg?
Yeah, just a couple quick things was that, Right, we adopted our LCAP for this year back in June, and then there were some additional funding streams that kind of got identified. So part of what this mid-year update document is trying to do is to acknowledge those additional funds and explain, like every district or school gets to explains like, how are those funds now being incorporated into your LCAP plans even after you adopted it? So for us as a small school, like it all kind of, it's just all reinforcing the original LCAP plan, and just making that plan go a little bit better or smoother, I would say. And then I also wanted to just say that as we move into March, we're already going to be looking at the next year's LCAP template. So everyone's going to see our LCAP 22-23 is going to be on every committee and at every board meeting from here until from March through June. And at each one of those meetings is a chance to look at, you know, a few of the areas and like see, well, what progress has been made to date on the current, on this year's LCAP, so that it can kind of inform tweaks and changes moving forward as we adopt next year's.
Thanks, Greg. So I think we need to approve
this. We have to approve this. Yeah, it's just a, you know, some narrative. It's a narrative template. Krishna worked on this. We looked at this in executive as well. It's just another opportunity, and it's had comment access and everything else if anyone wants to. And if people have things they want to change, it's already time to change things for the next LCAP. So it's never too late to get involved in LCAP. So with that, I'll make a motion to adopt the supplemental LCAP.
I will second it.
All right. Let me get back here to the minutes so I can call a vote on that. All right, here we go. Is there any, well, it's a lot, just before we do that, any other like final public comments or questions or anything, just to make sure we're all good? Okay. So then here we go. So the motion to adopt the supplemental LCAP document, Christina? Was that an aye?
Okay. It was, yes. It was a yes.
Davis?
Aye.
This is Greg. I'll vote yes. Kara?
Abstain.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Thank you, Kara. Sarah?
Yes.
And then Jan and Maru are absent. So that will pass.
Great.
We're done with that one.
All right. Next up, we have Finance Committee. Greg, did you want to cover finance?
Sure. Yeah. I made some notes, so hopefully I can be free. The documents are in the Board on Track under documents, so y'all can find them. The main things are in terms of the monthly forecast, we look through the financials through the end of January. The ending fund balance still is over 25%. I think the county wants around 3 or maybe 10%, and like platinum standard is 20. So we're well above even that. So we're in good shape there. Cash remains very positive for the rest of the forecast as well. So that's good. The one-time annual operating deficit for this year did creep up over January. We booked a few more expenses, some related to special education and meeting, you know, those are required expenses. So we gotta spend that. And then also Krishna and the admin team have been planning some additional stipends and dollars for staff. And staff know about this. It's basically everyone who's on the payroll at the end of the year. We've now booked some additional resources as like a thank you and as a helpful retention kind of piece of the retention strategy. It's not everything that people need, but it's just one piece of the puzzle in a hard year. Let's see, what else did we do? We reviewed the second interim financials, which is basically the forecast year to date, and then looking out a couple of years. And there's a document in the documents specific to the second interim, which we're going to be taking action on tonight. We have to approve that report and send it into county. We discussed lots of updates from the state of California related to finances and dollars. A couple of them are, there's a bill that might be making its way through Sacramento right now on a hold harmless provision for charter run schools this year, which would basically mean to treat charter run schools this year like the state is teaching districts this year. Districts have a hold harmless provision around their attendance and ADA for this year, but charters don't. So this bill would kind of make that the same, but it hasn't passed yet. And it would be a net positive in terms of our dollars for this year. It's enough money that if it happened, it would wipe out that operating deficit and then some for this year. There's another bill that's working its way through that potentially changes how the state will fund schools in the future, as opposed to just based on like ADA. It would be what's more of an enrollment membership model. So your dollars would be based less so on the percent of children that actually show up every day and more so on the percent of children who are enrolled. And then we also discussed expanded learning opportunity program, which is a big, big new thing that's coming to California public schools over the next few years. It's dollars to help schools extend the school day. So have a full 9 hours of instruction, including after school, but also extend the school year. And basically on top of your 180 regular days, adding 30 additional, what they call intersession school days. So it's a lot more school, but that means more administration, more teachers, more programs, more everything. So it's resources over time to grow the program. So we spent some time at the committee understanding the rules, understanding when does the funding come in, when do the audits kick in on those sorts of things. And whatever we plan on, we'll build on what we've already got, I would assume.
What do you mean when you say
that? Like, we've got summer program, we're gonna, you know, we might have to, it might grow a little bit, it might change. We have an after school program, it might change, but like, we're not, you know, it's not like we're not starting from nothing, I guess is just all I meant to say.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
And it's just, yes.
Two other smaller things, then one more big thing. We discussed our auditor. We have to choose an auditor for soon to audit this year's books next fall. Yeah. So we had a brief discussion about that. We also discussed the LCAP supplement that we just voted and approved. So that was the other thing. And then the last thing that we discussed, we spent a little time talking about an idea called the Montessori Training Center, which we're definitely gonna have to come back and do like a whole presentation on, both to finance committee and academic committee and FAC and the whole board. But real briefly, it's just an opportunity that Krishna and Daniel have been dreaming on to, as a way of helping our lead teachers get additional training and retraining for an ongoing training, for our support teachers to access lead teacher training, and to basically make it eventually pretty cost effective by partnering with Bay Area Montessori schools, district, charter, independent. Because right now you have to go to Portland or San Diego or Houston or Cleveland to get trained. And it's like the number one ingredient, you know, after we find great people, helping those that need to get trained, getting them trained is like the main thing that a lot of us think we can do to help, you know, make an impact on students and student learning. So we've been talking about getting this training center going off, getting it off the ground. So the key part on that is that if there's a way to start doing something small this summer with some teachers, there might be some planning we need to do this spring so that could happen. It's exciting, and it's also not unprecedented. There have been other charter run schools that have started whole graduate schools of education to train teachers. There are some paths forward, and it's the spirit behind it is really retaining, training, supporting our people, helping grow our own, and helping them stay here for the long run. Do you want to add anything more?
Yeah, on that? I just wanted to say we've done some feedback collection from staff about what are the ways that they'd like us to invest in them, and with some specific asks around support of Urban Montessori investing in opening our own training center. And though we probably only have about 30% response so far on the survey. Like, it's all in support, like neutral to mostly very supportive, and like two people that were like, oh, maybe, sure. And everybody else is in the supportive or very supportive category. So we're excited that staff are interested in that. And really, like, it's what we've been talking about for years, is like, how do we provide access to our staff, and particularly our staff of color, like a pathway to step into these more secure, higher paying instructional positions that we desperately need them to have access to, when all of the training centers require you to move away for a summer and like are extremely costly, or like $10,000 a year. And so in connection to that, you know, if this is one way that we could really invest in our current staff and supporting our own internal pipelines. And so Daniel and I have been working on a plan to open a training center on the side in all of our free time for several years. And like have applied for some grants and done some work there, and have not gotten all the big grants that we applied for. But on the flip side, we decided to come and talk to Finance Committee about the possibility of making an investment as an organization in something that would serve our community really directly and would provide us opportunity to have extremely highly trained, high qualified, and homegrown teachers for our students and for Oakland.
So that was a lot about finance. There was the month, there was working backwards, the training center, the LCAP supplement, all the state updates, the second interim, and the monthly financials. So if anyone's got questions or public comment about any of those things, happy to do my best to answer them. Never a dull moment at Finance Committee.
Not a question, but a comment. I think that's, I like the idea of being able to provide that coaching and training for our teachers. I think it really shows how much we value them. So thank you for looking at that.
One key factor that maybe we didn't share was that Daniel and Krishna know a qualified trainer, which is like the key thing. That there are training centers all around the country. Sometimes they have the center, but they don't have the human. So the fact that we have the human that could make it all work, like, that's really a huge part of why we could do it.
Just a comment. Will the training center be limited to Urban Montessori charter school teachers? So no. It'll be for,
go ahead.
There's a lot of things that are up in the air, but like, I think and up for potential change, but I think the dream is more of a subscription model is not quite right, but a partnership between other schools, where other schools could like join our program and they would have access to send all of their staff to specific PD that's appropriate for all staff, like, and also like have a certain number of people per year enter the actual formal training and get credentials. So it's like, there's a couple of different ways you can set it up, but I think that's one of our preferred ideas at this moment, because it's kind of like a residency model where everybody comes together in community, and that way you can support the reality of the school that these people are working in, as opposed to this like abstract, you go to a training somewhere that has no real understanding of what you're facing every day in the classroom. And this is a way that we can support actual public Montessori schools, but in theory, any Montessori school, with like the realities of their specific communities, and really provide that high quality training for both professional development for the whole school and specific training and credentialing, Montessori credentialing for individual staff. I also want it to partner with, a state credentialing organization, so that people could dual credential, because currently my lead teachers need 8 years of college to be paid a teacher's wage. And I think everybody should sit with that for a minute, because that is a whole nother step of like, of unreasonable expectations for any staff. And it's a real sticking point and hold up for many people who would otherwise go into the profession who cannot, because like who can afford to go to an extra, you know, 4 years of school for a teacher salary. So it's really important that we find ways to make that happen for our staff.
Cool, thank you.
Any other questions? Awesome, all right.
Sorry, can I ask one? And this might be too early in this process, but I'm overall like really excited about this. I think it's a really awesome idea. And like Krishna said, it's anything we could do to make an easier pathway for folks to become teachers is something we should do. I'm just curious if we're thinking about this as a model that would bring like an earned revenue stream, like it would fund its own staff, or like what, like from a financial perspective, what are we thinking?
We are definitely planning to have it self-sustain ultimately.
Yeah.
And, we've been seeking some grants and talking with various people in the greater community for a long time. And like in the hopes of having like basically kickoff costs, I think we actually do have some reasonable lines on potential grant funding in the future, but I'm tired of kicking it down the road. And I feel like you said, Sarah, it's like kickoff costs, I think, could be a very, very worthy investment of a small and conservative percentage of our fund balance as an organization to help start this off. It could ultimately split off into its own nonprofit in the future, or maybe it remains under our nonprofit. But like, I think I don't have exact numbers. We're going to bring a more clear budget plan to the next finance committee. And so we should have more to share at the next meeting. There's a few things we're just like nailing down before we go completely crazy with it, but we wanted to solicit some interest and see whether it was even something we should pursue with the board and as an investment, as an organization, as opposed to a separate thing, which is kind of how we've been thinking about it previously.
I think we also talked about the idea that in our current budget, in our current, you know, we spend money to train our teachers. So if we set up a center where it was self-sustaining in terms of revenue, then that would also be possibly a expense saving idea for UMCS in the future.
It could be a savings, and it could, at least long-term, it would be neutral, right? And it would be like better. We invest in the same way that other schools, like, you know, we subscribe to the system like everybody else does, right, to help it be self-sustaining, and we get all those benefits. But yeah, so Sarah, we are hoping it will generate revenue.
Great.
Yeah.
You gotta mute yourself.
All right. We switched to the microphone.
Sorry.
Yeah, it was mine.
I don't know.
So we're having one moment. So Sarah, there's gonna be some revenue. We're still needing to do some work on how many years it takes to kind of model out getting to revenue neutral on it, or, you know, so it depends on how many of the other schools we can kind of get in on the plan. But as Davis mentioned, every school is already spending more money now than they would have to under the new regime, because they're sending people all over the place, and it would be way easier and simpler and cheaper for them to just come and have an East Bay Training Center. So that's the main premise. There's a market niche. Okay. All right. Should we move on to academic?
Unless there are any other questions for Finance Committee. I think we've covered most everything. If there are not any other questions for Finance Committee, we will move on to academic oversight. Jan?
I got it. Now I have it.
Oh, sorry, Kara's got it. Sorry.
I think I have the headphones. If you want to hang on.